in the middle of a season in the church. There are seasons in the church, just like we have, you know, seasons throughout the year, fall, spring, winter. There are seasons in the church. And right now we're in a season called Lent. And it's the 40 days leading up to Easter. It's a time in the church when we kind of pull back and we stop and we listen and we repent. And we take time to look at our lives and to hear what God may be saying to us, what God may want to communicate to us. It's a time of repentance and of surrender. Sometimes when we hear the word repentance or surrender, you know, we think of that in negative terms. But it's an opportunity that God gives us to come to him in repentance, to turn back towards him, to align our lives and our hearts with him. And so Lent is an opportunity for us just to pause, to get quiet, and to listen. And so as part of Lent, each Sunday going through Lent, we've been focusing on a different altar that's mentioned in the Bible. We have here an altar. It has communion on it. This is a rather tame altar. In the Old Testament, altars were built of stone, of uncut stone, and animals were offered on top of them as sacrifices to God. It's the way that God taught the Israelites and communicated himself to them. And we no longer offer animals because Jesus came, and Jesus was the final sacrifice for us. But there's a call in our lives to build altars, to create spaces in our lives to hear and to listen to God. And so we've been looking at some different altars, and today we're going to look at Joshua's altar. Now, if you've never heard of Joshua, you can find a book by his name in the Old Testament. The Bible's made up of many books and, you know, with different names, and the book of Joshua tells us about Joshua. And Joshua, if you've ever heard of Moses, you know, if you've ever seen, Charlton Heston and the Ten Commandments? Did I say that name right? Charlton Heston, yes. And the Ten Commandments, you know, remember how he holds out his staff and the waters part and the Israelites go through the Red Sea on dry land. Joshua was Moses' successor. He was the leader of the Israelites after Moses. So he came after Moses. Now, Moses had led the Israelites out of Egypt. He'd led them out of slavery. And he led them into the wilderness. And they were only supposed to be in the wilderness for a little while. But some different things happened. They complained. They thought that God, that they couldn't possibly go into the land that God had promised to them because the people that were living there were too threatening, too powerful. And so God said, okay, you know what? You're going to stay in the wilderness. This generation, this group of people that said it can't be done, they're going to die in the wilderness. And so they wandered around the wilderness for guess how long? 40 years. 40 years. They wandered in the wilderness. And finally that particular generation died out. And God said, okay, it's time for you to go into the promised land. Now, Moses and Aaron, who were the leaders of the Israelites, you know, Moses was the one who had brought them out of slavery. God brought them out, but he used Moses to do it. Moses had, at one particular time, he'd not followed God like God had wanted him to follow him. And so God said, you know what? I'm going to let you go up on a mountain, and you're going to look out, and you're going to see the promised land. But you're not the one that's going to lead the Israelites into the promised land. Joshua is the one that's going to lead the Israelites into the promised land. And so Moses went up, he looked out over the promised land, and he died. God says that he was no more. God took him. And so Joshua, God said to, came to Joshua and said, Moses, my servant, is dead. You know, and get ready to enter the promised land. Well, they entered the promised land. They followed God. They had to go go across the river. God parted the river. They marched across. They got to Jericho. Have you ever heard of Jericho and the walls of Jericho and how they marched around the city 7 days? And on the seventh day, they shouted and the walls fell down. And God had given them special instructions when they captured Jericho that they were not to keep anything for themselves. They were not to keep any of the plunder for themselves. But one man, unknown to everybody else, his name was Achan, he kept some of the plunder. He kept some of the gold and silver and this fancy robe, piece of clothing that he'd seen that he really liked. He'd kept it, and he hid it. And so the Israelites conquered Jericho. All that went well. And then they went up to conquer another city, the city of Ai. And they thought because everything had gone so well at Jericho that they really didn't need to take very many people with them. This was going to be a cinch. It wasn't going to be any problem. They went up to conquer Ai, and they got slaughtered. They got absolutely defeated. It was a complete disaster. And God revealed to Joshua, you know what? There's a reason. Because someone among you kept stuff that he wasn't supposed to keep for himself. And so, you know, went through this whole thing, figured out who it was, and the man ended up being put to death. He'd been disobedient to God. Well, everything was made right. God gave them instructions. They went up again against Ai, and they conquered it. And God helped them to defeat the city of Ai. And after they defeated it, you know, this time they've defeated Jericho, they've defeated Ai, they're entering into this land that God has promised to their ancestors. And rather than just continuing on and going to the next city to attack the next city, Joshua does something. And he stops. And he builds an altar. He builds an altar on a mountain called Ebal. And so, this is Ebal. The mountain called Ebal. And he builds an altar to God up on top. Now, this wasn't just any mountain. And this was just not something that Joshua just decided to do on his own. Because actually, back in Deuteronomy, the book that's right before Joshua that tells us all about Moses and Moses' leading of the people, Moses and the Levites, the leaders of the people, the priests, they give instructions to the next generation that's going to go in the promised land. And they say, when you go into the promised land, go and build an altar on Mount Ebal and sacrifice burnt offerings and fellowship offerings on it. And when you go there, take two stones and cover them with plaster and write the law of the Lord on the stones in detail, very carefully, and read the law in front of all the people so that they may hear it and that they may listen. And I'm going to, in Deuteronomy chapter 27, verses 9 through 10, it says this. It says, then Moses and the Levitical priests said to all Israel, so this is when Moses was still alive, be silent, Israel, and listen. There's that word, listen. Be silent and listen. You have now become the people of the Lord your God. You have now become the people of the Lord your God. You guys don't belong to yourselves. You have now become the people of the Lord your God. Because of that, he says, obey the Lord your God and follow his commands and decrees that I give you today. You guys aren't slaves anymore. You're not slaves in Egypt. You guys belong to God. And because you belong to God, I'm expecting you and calling you to live in relationship with me and to obey me. And then he goes ahead and gives these specific instructions about how they're supposed to build this altar on Mount Ebal. And so Joshua builds an altar on Mount Ebal. And he gathers all the people around. And he not only builds an altar, but it tells us, and they sacrifice offerings on it. They sacrifice burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, which fellowship offerings were a little bit different. They had a meal. They sacrificed an animal. And then they all got to eat the food together, kind of like a potluck. And it was a time of celebration and sharing and remembering that they were part of a community. And then Joshua did something else. He set up these stones, and he wrote the law of the Lord on the stones on Mount Ebal. And he read it to the people. He read the law to the people so that they would know and that they would listen and that they would know how to follow God, how to be his people. And so over here, I'm going to put Mount Ebal over here. So if you can't see it, just know this is Mount Ebal, okay? All right. So then there's another mountain. There's a valley in between. There's another mountain. And this mountain is called, this is Gerizim. You guys, anybody watch The Promise? Yeah? Remember the woman at the well? She was a Samaritan, and the Samaritans worshiped, many years later, during the time of Jesus, they worshiped God on Mount Gerizim. So Mount Gerizim is over here. These mountains still exist today. You can go there. These are real places. What's that? Whoops. So here's Mount Gerizim. And in the middle here is the valley of Shechem. And so it tells us in Joshua that Joshua had the people. He built the altar on Mount Ebal. He had them gather around. And then he split the people, and he did this. It wasn't his idea again. This is what Moses told him to do. Took half of the people. So, you know, if you can kind of imagine, we're going to split the group right here. So half of the tribes went over, and they stood in front of Mount Ebal. And half of the tribes went over, and they stood in front of Mount Gerizim. And they pronounced blessings. That's right. They pronounced blessings in front of Mount Gerizim and curses in front of Mount Ebal. If you follow God and obey God and listen to him, there will be blessings. If you choose to go your own way, there will be curses. I had a teacher once who used to say, when we break the Ten Commandments, you guys know what the Ten Commandments are, those tablets that God gave Moses up on Mount Sinai, you know, which is, it's basically, you know, this, can't get my tape here, but it's this law here that Joshua rewrote and read to the people. When we break the Ten Commandments, you know what happens? What's that? Cursed. We break ourselves. Penalized. But there's something when we break the Ten Commandments, it's sin. We break ourselves. We're broken. Anybody here ever sinned? I have. We're all broken people, right? Broken. Because every single one of us has sinned against God, broken. I want to go over a couple of verses. This is in Deuteronomy So Moses and the leaders have given Joshua all of these instructions. And they've been given the covenant many years before, but this is right before Moses is going to die and right before they're going to go in the promised land. And Moses wants to make sure that they remember, the ways of the Lord, that they don't forget. He knows that they're going to forget. He knows that they're going to break the Ten Commandments, that they're going to break themselves. But he wants them to remember. And this is in Deuteronomy chapter 30, starting with verse 15. And these are the words of Moses. He speaks to Joshua and to all the people who will come after them. It says this, "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess." It's a joy. It's a blessing. It's an opportunity to obey and to follow God. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will certainly be broken. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. You will not stay long in the promised land. This day I call the heavens and the earth. Imagine a court of law. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice. There's it again. Listen. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. Keep tight with him. For the Lord is your life. God is your life. You got to stay tight to him. You've got to listen to him. And he will give you many years in the land he swore to give your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I set before you today a choice. Choose life or choose death. Choose blessings or choose curses. Choose God. He is your life. Hold tight to him. Listen to him. Many years later, Jesus was up on a mountain. He took a couple of his disciples with him. We read this passage at the beginning of our time together. But he was up there, and it says, you know, that he was transfigured before them. And a voice came out of the cloud, and it says, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And what does God the Father say? What specific command does he say? Listen to him. Choose life. Listen to him. Listen to Jesus. Build an altar, a place. Not to sacrifice animals on. We're past that. Jesus was the final sacrifice. But build an altar. Set aside a place, a time, to meet me, to listen to me. How do we meet God? How do we listen to God? Anybody have any ideas? Yeah, listen, read scripture, go to church, pray. You know, that's one of the cool things about prayer. Sometimes we think prayer is all about talking and telling God, you know, I'd really like this, I'd really like that. You know what prayer is, mostly? It's listening. It's about listening to God, putting ourselves in a place, creating a space where we can sit down with scripture and listen. You know, one thing that helps me listen to God when I sit down with scripture, it's actually a really old practice. We see it over here with Joshua up on Mount Ebal. What did he do? He wrote down the law. You know, one of the things that helps me listen to God is to get out my Bible, find a quiet place. Maybe it's, you know, going to the library or sitting outside by myself with scripture, taking a piece of paper and finding a verse that, or something that jumps out at me. I feel like God is speaking to me, that the Holy Spirit is speaking to me. You know, the Holy Spirit speaks to us. He talks to us. We have to listen. And, you know, there's just something that just kind of sticks out to me. And taking that piece of paper and that pen and just, or pencil, and just writing it out. Or maybe, you know, if we have a phone, sometimes, you know, as I was sitting down with this passage today, one of the things that I did, I was reading it, but I was just having a really hard time with it. It's having a hard time getting my mind around it. So I don't know if you can see this, but you know what I did? I drew a picture of it. I drew a picture of Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. And that is what helped me to listen to this passage of scripture, was actually drawing a picture of it. And so, you know, even if reading's not our thing, if we have a cell phone and we have the Bible app on our phone, there's a little icon, a little picture we can push, and it will play the scripture for us. And we can sit there and we can draw it and listen. God calls us to listen, that we might know him, that we might hear him, and that we might respond, that we might choose life. Let's pray.